You're listening to WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carborough, 103.5 FM. Freedom of expression is essential to a free society. And we've got a free society going on right here.
Yes, we do.
This is Welcome to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Your host, Claudio, Renaissance man and bard of WCOM, has opened the doors of the speakeasy to invite you all in to find a seat, get comfortable, and be in the place where you're always welcome and can always expect the very best.
We'd like to think so.
Yes. Good morning, Claudio. What's up with you
Good
this week?
Good morning. I'm trying to get some wind back in my sails. The last two weekends have been amazingly involved. One was a 37-year reunion with my former best friend in Winston-Salem when I first came here from South Africa.
And that is so fabulous.
He lives on the far side of Pilot Mountain, where we used to take our girlfriends. We always dated Tom girls. We used to climb the top of the mountain. It was totally legal, and go camp out overnight. And the amazing thing was, when I drove by there this time to go see him, I looked at those cliffs and I thought to myself, God, I climbed those things.
Way back in your wild youth.
And what was even more impressive was that girls would do it with me.
Because
they had some amazing, I mean, it looks like the Irish Cliffs of Dover when
My goodness, drive past it now, but it's still
a beautiful mountain.
Yeah.
And it's become illegal to go up there at all now.
Oh, really?
You can just go to the bottom of the knob and look up. That's
because
it.
Because of the danger or because
Yeah, because people have been falling off or I don't know if they've been using it to commit suicide or what, but it is a dangerous place.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I grew up climbing in South Africa, so I had a good sense of it, because I did it all by hand, no ropes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there were some areas that was pretty straight up. It's just knowing where to grab and pull yourself up. I wouldn't do it again, I don't think.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Yes. Needless to say, it was amazing to reunite with my friend Mike Spanauer. His son and I are going to do some work together. We connected right around the time that my current best friend died, the musician. He was concerned about me needing another musician and wanted me to keep an open mind to consider his son, Michael. He's known as Michael Bryan, and he's sort of being quoted as the new Jimi Hendrix on electric guitar, and the guy is amazing. He played Star Spangled Banner for me, and it sounded just like Jimmy. I mean, and sort of a cross between Jimmy and Joe Satriani. So we're going to do some work together with.
Whoa. Does he have any CDs out?
Yes, he does, but he gave me two. I was going to bring one, but they're both blanks. He didn't realize that mine didn't have recordings on them. I have no idea why that happened, but I'm lodging a complaint.
Well, I want to hear it when you do.
The name is the Donahue Station Band, and they actually perform quite a bit at Bone Daddy's Hideaway in Raleigh, which is a biker hangout, I understand. So they're pretty popular there, and they tour quite frequently.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I actually went and knocked on the door of the Andy Griffith Theater in Mount Airy. The original Mayberry. And I want to see if I can't go ahead and do one of my shows there, maybe Seafarers or something.
That'd be great.
That was in the making. Then I come back to help out with the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival. And that lasted 3 days and was the biggest turnout I think they've ever seen.
Wow, at
the Carolina Theater in Durham. Right. It's always been a big turnout.
Yeah. It seems to have been getting bigger and bigger every year.
This one put all the straight guys in the closet. There was no room for us. That's it was
neat.
A fun time.
Yeah, that's neat.
So right.
And before that, in between, you also went down to some big birthday bash at the music museum?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was 2 days and nights partying up in the mountains with my friend and his family. And they truly don't sleep. They die in the afternoon. and then I left there to go and visit a friend I hadn't seen in years in Thomasville, North Carolina, a friend that owns the American Music Museum, Curtis Ingram. And that was a party. Fortunately, both places had a bedroom for me, so.
That's nice. I'm glad you weren't out there sprawled across the porch somewhere.
I came back, and then I had to be on the show that you and Jackie have.
Yeah, you were on the West End Report.
West End Report, and right. Audrey reminded me that I was yawning every chance I got.
Not on the air, folks.
No,
not
thanks.
On the air. This is a professional here.
Well, we like to think so. Who are we bluffing?
Right. Ourselves.
Yes. So what's going on with your land and that whole and your blog about building, doing it yourself?
Well, one of the neat things is I've gotten a copy of a software program that I'm borrowing from my daughter that I can design a house on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing sketches, et cetera, and what I basically want to put up is a one-bedroom, one-bathroom house. I want a house with indoor plumbing. And some place to sleep.
Yeah, right.
And a room that's big enough to get my family in for occasions.
Yes.
So It's I'm playing with this right
so,
now. So I'm still waiting for to hear back from the person who's going to give me an estimate on putting the access road in.
Mm-hmm. I think that what sounds like the fun thing, and I did the same thing years ago, the fun thing to me was once you've got a structure up and standing that is legitimately accepted, you can take forever to whatever you want to do to the inside.
Exactly.
I love the idea of that canvas of opportunity.
And I know enough people who are handy, and I'm very flexible. You know, as I said, once I've got indoor plumbing, and I can cook a meal, and I can put a bed someplace where I'm not going to get rained on, then I can grow from there.
And just occasionally invite friends over to knock out some little task, you know, make a party out of it.
I'm thinking that when we get the access road in, and I'm asking him to put in a like a parking pad for me that'll handle at least four cars to go in and turn around, that should have a tailgate picnic just to start.
That sounds perfect.
Yes.
I'll bring some stuff to cook.
Okay.
Don't want to shoot no squirrels.
No. Although I'm thinking of, you know, I'd like to set up an archery. I always wanted to learn how to. I've never done bow and arrow stuff.
Oh, I love bow and arrow. Yeah.
But it would be a good fun.
Have a
new
nice
thing
little
to learn
target
how to
area.
Do, have a target area and learn how to use a bow and arrow.
Absolutely.
Not that I'd ever want to shoot anybody, but or thing.
It'd be a quiet way to do it if you had to.
But if I'm
we're not into that, folks. Don't worry.
I'm out there in the woods by myself, you know,
right.
It's like this. Watch out, there's a crazy lady up there with a bow and arrow. Don't bother her.
Well, that's one thing I always thought about growing up in South Africa. I became really good with a slingshot.
Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of it is when people come and attack you or want to bother you in your own home, and this did occasionally happen in South Africa, mm-hmm. what you do is you sneak out of the house and sneak into the woods. You know your woods better than they do, and you just whack them with these rocks you put in your slingshot. By the time the rock hits them on the head, they have no idea where that rock came from, so
right.
It's not like they can find you.
Right.
And this was pretty effective.
Well, I knew somebody one time who had a, I think, something a little bit illegal, and it's basically, it's like a dart gun.
Oh. And what was the little poison in the tip?
Well, actually, no, they weren't putting poison in the tip, but it was enough that it could do a little bit of, you know, stop somebody.
It wasn't the pygmies that came ashore.
Okay. Right, exactly, no. So, and I won't even mention anything
yeah,
close to who this person was many years ago, people. So, but I'm not going to do that either.
Mm-hmm.
But practicing, learning, and it would be good exercise. You know,
absolutely.
Strengthen your
and
arm.
I still keep a slingshot in my car. Funny, when I worked at the nuclear plant, I have a slingshot and ball bearings just in case I'm ever broke down and I have to walk miles in the dark, stick it in my back pocket. It's a defense. I don't believe in carrying pistols. When I worked at Sharon Harris, I was lead firewatch for some years. I just wanted to educate myself as to, you know, what nuclear energy was. Mm-hmm. So I went to explore it. Mm-hmm. Head on, and they would have mirrors under your car and check you every time you rolled in the gates. I had my slingshot right out there in the open with the ball bearings laying right next to, I mean, it was in a little, you know, container,
mm-hmm.
but in the car. And they would just look at that and go, what is that? And I just say, oh, slingshot. And I didn't say any more than that, and, you know,
right.
I didn't want to tell them this could actually hurt you.
Yes.
And they always let me go through with it.
I think everybody growing up that I know of knows what a slingshot is.
Yeah.
You know, it started with David, right? Isn't that how he slew Goliath?
That's right. Somehow that story got to me and I stuck to it.
Yes.
Anyway, folks, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCRM 103.5 FM. I want to acknowledge very quickly the historic Carolina Theater. They've got all kinds of events coming up, including Margaret Cho's new American USA tour. It's called Cho Dependent. So it's coming up at the Carolina Theater. Just check out the website.
All right.
You know what that website is. It's carolinatheater.org, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah,
I believe so.
Get it right.
In fact, I've got it down here somewhere.
Yeah.
www.carolinatheater, spelled T-H-E-A-T-R-E,
yes.
.org.
The old English way. So check out that website and see everything that's coming up. They've got some really fun events coming up. And the Gay and Lesbian Film Festival went amazingly well, and that's done now.
Growing every year.
Spent all day yesterday running the clue to clean up the mess. So we're all set now. We've got a very interesting fellow in the studio. His name is Derek Eason. He's a graphic artist, and we're going to get into his life in just a moment. He draws comic books, but he's also, I would say, multidisciplinary. And we're going to explore this fellow for the rest of the hour. Again, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here in the studio with my co-host Audrey Layden and our guest, Derek Eason. And Derek, over to you. Tell us about your graphic thing, and then some.
Okay. Well, I'll start out by talking about my comic book, actually.
And we've got one lying on the table here called Knuckleheads.
The Knuckleheads. From Australia. I came up with the concept for the Knuckleheads when I was 16 and working at a pizza inn. Making pizza. Yeah. In between, you know, the rushes,
right.
Me and a friend of mine, we would draw. So they allowed us to do it. So I came up with this concept, 16 years old. I'm now 36.
Don't worry, nobody can see you. You didn't have to tell him that.
Folks, he looks like he's 19.
Yeah, he does.
Well, thank you.
He's got that jovial aspect to him as well.
It's the cartoons and the artwork.
That's it.
But anyway, I revisited the Knuckleheads and basically the same concept, the same look, everything. It's just updated artwork. And I self-published this and along with another book prior to this. And me and a friend of mine, my best friend from kindergarten, Terrence Sykes, we together came up with the...
That's a new one. Best friend from kindergarten. I haven't gone back that far.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to 5 years old.
Amazing.
Yeah, we together we came up with this company in I think it was eighth grade, and yeah, called Sinister Comics.
Sinister
Comics.
Uh-huh. Did you even know what that word meant then?
Well,
jeepers.
The thing about it, we used to go to the library right after lunch. We didn't go out. And play outside or standing around outside.
Literary minds early on.
Exactly. So we would go to the library. Well, we were going to draw. So.
Right. Okay.
And we wanted to come up with the name for our company. So, of course, I wanted Easton Comics because that's my last name. And he wanted whatever.
You want your face on that mountain too, don't you?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So we went and got the dictionary. We opened it up. He pointed to a word. I pointed to a word. His word was sinus, and mine was sinister. So,
yeah, we didn't want to use sinus. Sinister sounds a little bit more interesting than sinus.
Yes,
yeah. That's neat.
Yeah. So
I think sinus would have made you a bit of a drip.
Oh, groan.
Be quiet.
So that's how we came up with Sinister Comics. It's nothing sinister about us, but yeah.
Nothing you've done no horror stories or anything that would qualify sinister?
No.
So how do you justify it?
No slingshots, no bow and arrows, no.
Hey, I think we just got punched. So how do you justify sinister if it's not sinister?
It's the word I pointed to. It's catchy, and I guess it raises people's eyebrows when they see it.
Ooh, because sinister. We don't know, but he may be very sinister.
That's true.
Mm. Exactly.
Mm. Yes. Underneath that smiling face.
Right? Here are all the funny parts, but there be the bones. So how about, what do you said you have two self-published comics at this point?
Well, the first one I did is based off a group that I created called the Peacemakers.
Okay.
I took one of the characters from there, from the group of five, I think, and did an origin story for him. So it's called the Peacemakers, codenamed Gear.
Well, tell us about the Peacemakers so the public will know what you're talking about,
derivative. The Peacemakers are based on the concept of like a shadow government or, you know.
Oh, like the one we got. Yeah.
Well, whenever there's any kind of disruption overseas, anywhere, they'll send the peacemakers over to nullify everything. You know, it's quiet after they leave.
Make peace.
Make peace.
Yes.
Air quotes.
Yes.
Make peace. Similar to the gun, you know. Mm-hmm. That
the peacemaker gun.
Exactly.
Right. I think the current understanding is drop bombs.
Well, yeah.
I'll try to be funny. Never mind. Go on.
No, they're small. I think it's like five or six that I created, and they go over there and, like I said,
handle
the situation. Yeah. So I took Gear from that group and did a book based off of his origin on how he got so hard edge and everything.
How he got to be a peacemaker.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, so this is like the government's secret hit team.
I think you just qualified. I think you just qualified sinister.
No. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Seems pretty and sinister.
To you said it was. It's sort of in the vein of what was that comic book you were comparing it to? Wolverine or something?
Well, the character, most groups always have a Wolverine in there. You know, the bad attitude, quiet loner type.
The good guy that could really tear things up
exactly,
if he had to. Right?
Exactly. So most of the time, they're the most interesting.
True.
So I took him, and I wanted to do his origin first. So mm-hmm. that's what I did. And it was a really interesting story. And I did one issue, but I want to go back and do a complete graphic novel based off in his story.
So you've got an entire novel written on this
yes.
premise? Okay.
Yes.
I know you sent me some things by email that I haven't had time to get to yet, but I okay. fully intend to read.
But well, I believe those were the scripts.
They were, okay.
Yeah, that's totally different from...
Yeah, no, yeah. I think one was a play and mm-hmm. something else, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you set up like a whole storyboard, or, I mean, how do you go about constructing a graphic novel?
Well...
You got to wait until you don't have to make a pizza, first of all.
Step by step.
Exactly. Exactly. The way I do it, and I'm self-taught with everything, and I might be way off, but I don't do storyboards for the comics. It almost plays like a movie in my head. Once uh-huh. I come up with the concept and the story, I can pretty much see it.
It
happening.
Sort of pulls you in. That's what happens
exactly.
to me as well.
So then when I get the paper, I look at the paper and the images basically show themselves to me. Mm-hmm. So I might sketch it, and go to each page, sketch.
So you're making the sketches before you put down a text for the story,
yes.
the storyline.
Yes.
Your storyline comes out graphically.
Exactly.
And then you add the words.
And then I add the dialogue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Which is very much how I started off drawing comics as well. It was just I'd read so many anyway.
Exactly.
That the images sort of created the story.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. So and how do you do what? I'm asking in details. I mean, do you do this in pen and ink to start with, or pencil, or do you start with colors? Or?
I start off with pen. Excuse me, with pencil.
Mm-hmm.
Then I go over it with the inks.
Mm-hmm.
Then I erase all the pencil lines.
Mm-hmm.
Then I scan it in the computer.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Once it's in the computer, I can add the colors, the words, the effects, everything of that.
Really? So.
And you kind of know what's going on in your mind as you're drawing them, even without putting the text there.
Yes.
And so then you just go back and develop that.
The key is to try to tell the story with the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you add the text, it's extra. It's like icing. If you can follow the story, if I show you my originals without any words,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to follow the story.
Which makes it even more dynamic, more powerful, actually, to have them speak
for
themselves.
I'm looking at a copy of the Knuckleheads issue 104, and there's some quite interesting artwork in here. This is very nicely done.
Oh, he's a very good artist, yeah. Very intricate in characters and
it looks like it would be fun to do. I mean, do you enjoy this?
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. I love it. I've been drawing since.
Art has always been therapy.
Exactly, it is. It is. When I was a kid, if I was having a rough day or anything, you basically go into your own world and you go and you visit and you control everything. You know, it's like that cartoon where the kid is imagining being a starship fighter pilot.
Oh, yes,
right.
And Calvin.
Exactly.
Calvin?
Yes.
It's like that. You go into your own world. You don't have to. I mean, whatever's bothering you, you're the
You've
king.
Left it behind.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is therapy. It is. And you can get aggression out too.
Very true.
Because if you're good enough, you can make the
whatever's been bothering you, create a character
exactly,
for that. Yes.
Exactly. So that might be sinister.
Absolutely.
Too, right?
So now you only have two.
I told you behind that smiling face.
You had to pull it out of me. Yeah?
I think we've explained the sinister aspect. Yes. So you only have two on the market right now.
Two. Well.
Or how do people acquire these?
Right now, Gear is. I did 100 issues. That was my first self-published.
It would be a wonderful collector's item to get.
Yeah. I'm
getting one.
I only have, I think, like 3 left.
Wow. Good.
Personally.
And how can people get in touch with you to get these?
Well, the Knuckleheads is actually available, the first issue, on indieplanet.com.
Okay.
And if you put in there under the search, once you're there, Knuckleheads, it should come up.
What about your, do you have contact information? Yours, your own?
Well,
website or
I have my online portfolio that anyone who's listening can go and check it out. It's dmeason.daportfolio.com.
Good, and we'll remind folks about that one more time as the show progresses.
And I have
spell
a couple.
Eason.
E-A-S-O-N.
E-A-S-O-N. So D, because I'm writing it down. Yes. D-M-Eason dot.
D-A.
D-A.
Portfolio.
Portfolio.
Dot com.
Okay.
So it's dot de portfolio.
D-M-Eason da.
Don't portfolio. Don't you dot my T's and cross my I's.
Okay. And also, I have a DeviantArt page.
A DeviantArt? That's okay. We go from sinister to deviant. That's, yes.
Hey, well, I mean, I didn't name it.
I'm beginning to think they really are bones.
That's DME version 1 dot DeviantArt.
And is that com. 1 the number or 1 the letter?
The number. The number 1.
So say that again.
DME version 1
dot DeviantArt. DeviantArt. Art.
.com.
And
interesting.
That's,
yeah.
That's where I keep like a gallery of things. Mm-hmm. It's not so polished as the portfolio. Mm-hmm. It's more professional. But mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wonderful. Right. So your friend that you started this company with moons ago, is he still does he collaborate with you, or do you do anything? Does he do
yes,
anything?
Yes, he...
And what's his name?
His name is Terrence Sykes.
Terrence Sykes, okay.
Yeah.
Hello, Terrence.
Yeah, he... It's a little more than a hobby for him now. Mm. It was his main, you know, focus, but now it's kind of got pushed to the back burner a little bit, but...
What does he do for a living?
He's employed by CSX, the railroad. I'm not sure exactly what
okay.
he does.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But yeah,
things get pushed aside because you have to put food on the table.
I'm afraid so. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Not very good, well paying.
No.
Yeah. You have
yeah.
to work.
Yeah.
You have to work to make it work.
Right.
So
exactly.
you can't sit back and wait for it to hit you because
mm-hmm.
no. it's not.
Yes.
And no matter how good you are, my brother right. always told me, you know, you could be the greatest artist, but if no one knows it, you
yeah,
know.
Exactly.
So
you do.
I
have
remember
to,
my. My sea captain friend, Captain Don Punker, asked me years ago, he says, so when you finally pull it off and somebody comes up to you and says, Claudio, what's it like being an overnight success? He asked me, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to punch him right in the face. I'm going to tell him it's been one long night.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm an overnight success. It took me, 15 years?
Yeah.
20 years to be an overnight success. It's not bad.
No,
we know when you read the or hear the stories of any of the, I'm thinking particularly now of people in the films, in the movie stars, and in the acting profession on stage, mm-hmm. etc. And you listen to the kind of professions or jobs they had in order to eat
right.
in the
mm-hmm.
past. You know, your waiters and waitresses and cab drivers and ditch diggers
exactly.
and. You do anything you have to do in order
and
to survive
exactly.
physically.
And I have.
Right.
I've had, I know, at least 100 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm serious.
Did you survive?
I survived.
All right.
And
me too.
I know how to do a lot of different things.
Yeah, that's true.
You know how to build a house?
Jack of all trades, master of none, that thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
So expand a little bit. Tell us, I know there's more to you than just the comics. What are some
yes.
of the other aspects in your life that have intrigued you?
Well, the next thing that I kind of expanded from the comics mm-hmm. was the writing aspect of it, you know, telling stories. And I'm a movie buff. I love movies.
I would consider myself one too.
Yeah, so... There were times where I watched movies and I was just like, they should have ended that different, you know, or it would have been better if this would have happened. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So me and my friend Terrence, we were like, hey, let's write our own. Let's write a script. So we did research on how the format and how to do it, you know, and we kind of fumbled around and came up with the additional footage, which is our first script that we wrote. And you know, rewrites.
Was that in seventh grade or tenth grade?
Yes, when was this?
No, this
last
the,
week.
The, this was actually a few. I think it was like 10, 12 years ago.
All right.
So I was in my 20s.
Still young men. Still young people.
Yeah, but.
Just to remind everybody out there and those that are just tuning in, this is Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater on WCOM 103.5 FM. In the studio with us, we have the fascinating Derek Eason, graphic artist, and of course my co-host Audrey Layden. And this is yours truly, Claudio. And back to Derek.
Yeah, so after additional footage, Terrence wrote a one by himself, a script by himself.
Mm-hmm. Terrence and being who?
Terrence Sykes.
I'm sorry. Thank
yeah.
you.
And I'm sorry.
I was just on that trip of announcing the radio station. Yes, I'm still a little sleepy, folks.
Yeah. And I wrote another one by myself, and I think I wrote two or three from after additional footage, and he wrote two or three after that. And from there, we went back to the comics and mm-hmm. bounced around a little bit.
And what's your idea with this additional footage, so to speak?
Additional footage is a basically like a conspiracy theory. This lady, she goes and she finds additional footage from mm-hmm. the Kennedy assassination. And it shows someone in the background, you know, another gunman, another shooter. And the question is, what do you do with that information? You know, do you release it to
one
the public?
One of the things you sent me was on that. Yeah.
Do you release it to the public or do you keep it quiet? And if you keep it quiet, you know, what would you do? So
right.
That thing's never going to die, the Kennedy assassination.
No, it's not. It's not.
No.
So you wrote the script for the mm-hmm. movies. Did you ever start filming them or?
No, we came close to doing uh-huh. like a short for additional footage uh-huh. because you could basically shoot it in the attic where she finds the
right,
piece.
Right.
True.
Just a little teaser.
Uh-huh.
But we had problems with getting the equipment and everything. Right. But no, we
so
haven't
you need
shot
a little
anything.
Handy cam. You can do a lot with a little
I know. Mm-hmm. 10, 12 years ago, it right. was a little different, a little
right.
harder.
Right.
Now, it's you could use a flip camera. Mm-hmm. You know, you
oh,
use anything.
It's amazing,
your cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a lot better now yeah. to actually get put things together like that. But unfortunately, we didn't shoot anything
right.
yet
yeah.
of that.
But you still have the script, so you still could.
Oh, yeah. We yeah. got a copyright. And everything,
wow,
you know, right,
right
off the gate. So
good for you.
Well, we knew that from the artwork, uh-huh. from our field.
From doing the graphic art.
Exactly, yeah. from doing any comics or whatever
right.
to protect your work. So once we wrote the script, we went ahead and got copyrights on it. And that's why I can talk about it on the radio.
Yes. Uh-huh. right.
I'll have to make Ira David Wood aware of this because he's considered one of the world's authorities on the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's got some amazing stories of his own.
Mm.
He actually helped Oliver Stone when they filmed the JFK.
Yeah.
He was one of the advisors on the set.
Uh-huh.
And that was part of my inspiration because, yeah, the movie, JFK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that magic bullet theory, good Lord.
I know.
Jesus.
Yeah, that was.
It's amazing that it was ever taken seriously. Now, do you do any painting where, like, individual pieces on their mm-hmm. own for art exhibits, or is yours strictly graphic arts for comics?
No, I've done paintings, but not for any exhibits. I have something shown at the Durham Arts Gallery
Guild
last
or,
year.
Oh, okay, gallery, gotcha.
And that was a charcoal piece oh. of, I can't even remember his name.
Was it another artist?
No, it was a jazz musician, Miles Davis.
Miles Davis, oh,
yeah.
Right.
I did a piece.
Very nice.
I'm sorry, I just drew
that's
a blank.
Okay, that's okay.
but
nobody
but
can see you on the radio. Don't worry.
I did a charcoal piece of him, and actually, I'm going to submit something to the Apex Arts Council, the
good.
Jury show coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I've got
month.
A piece that Bob is putting in for me as well.
Okay, so I want to participate in that also.
Well, let's tell people, what is this Apex Arts?
You probably have more information on it than I do. Give us a little breakdown on that,
well,
if you could. It's happening in Apex, that much we know.
It's happening in Apex, and it's in Arts Council.
It's still in August, right?
It's going to be September. Oh. September the 10th is when you turn in any artwork, and
okay.
The 11th, I believe, is
that's
something.
Right.
A mutual friend of ours sent me the email,
exactly.
So I'm really not up to par on it.
Bob Crowley, whom you've heard.
Exactly.
So if you people out there might be interested, you go to just Google Apex Arts Council, and you'll get the information.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Good.
It's going to be a big exhibit of just many different artists exhibiting as well as selling their works.
Exactly. It's going to be an auction after, I believe.
I think that's
and
what
you
I
don't
was.
Have to be an Apex person at all to
no.
enter.
No.
Okay.
Local?
Anyone's welcome from
I
what
believe.
I understand.
Right.
Somebody local as in, go ahead.
How
no.
local is local?
No, I'm asking you.
To my knowledge, it's Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, the area.
Yeah, okay.
Apex.
Okay.
All right.
I hope I'm not wrong about that, but I'm sure the... If you Google, you'll
yes,
find out.
Yes.
I just wanted to say real quick because about the comics on Indie Planet.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Terrence Sykes, he has two books up there.
Ah, two books or comics?
Two comics.
Okay.
One's called The Brood, Brood,
oh.
And the other one is called Scarlet.
Hmm.
So, if
now let me guess, is The Brood about vampires?
No, it's not.
Good.
It's not about vampires. But Scarlet is a government assassin. So, yeah.
More sinister
we've
stuff.
Worn out,
yeah,
we've
yeah.
worn out sinister
yeah,
at this
we,
point,
we,
yes.
Okay.
I had this, for some reason, when you first told me, I had this image of strictly doing cartoon and, funnies. And,
mm-hmm.
But I realized sinister does apply.
Well,
little did you know about that sinus congestion.
The thing about it, though, when my son was born, I wrote a children's book.
Ah,
and it's no violence or anything.
Nothing
sinister.
That brings Kenneth Graham to mind, The Wind in the Willows. He wrote that for his children. He never
exactly.
really cared about getting it published on a big scale, and now it's tradition.
What
fathers do for their children.
Exactly. I used to read his, the books to him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And, being a writer and an artist, I'm like, okay. I can do this, So,
what did you do for him?
I wrote a story called "Follow the Bouncing Ball." It's pretty basic,
mm-hmm.
And the ball goes and travels, and has basically a day of just doing different things, going in different areas, and just really simple.
Mm-hmm. Just something that for three or 4 years old.
And what
or
the little kid has?
Well, I think he was three.
Uh-huh.
Three, two. He's five now, but like two or three.
Uh-huh.
Does he still read it now?
No.
Now that he's five, or has he outgrown it already?
And is it published?
It's like, no, it's not.
Okay.
This is something that I'm going to try to submit with the publishing company that I'm currently working with.
All right.
And that's like a nice little transition into that.
Uh-huh.
mm-hmm.
Right
we
now,
call it Segway over here.
Segway. I'm doing cover art and interior art for Peak City Publishing.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Very good.
And Peak City Publishing is what?
That is the publishing company.
It's part
in
of
Apex.
All Booked Up in Apex, isn't
all,
it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
All Booked Up, Salem Street.
Right.
Spell out street.com. You can go and you can definitely, you can see the two books that I've worked on. One is called The First Line, and that is actually a contest for young writers. And
right, about 15, up to 15, I think it is.
Well, this the second one is up to 15, I believe.
Okay.
But the one prior to that was a little older, and they already held that, and they have the book, and it should be coming out pretty soon.
And they're also publishing one of Bob's.
Yes,
exactly.
And Bob's going to be on with us, right? No, he's going.
I'm sure he'll be on with us again. Yeah,
right. But mm-hmm. I'm going to have him on Carborough Book Beat.
That's
of
right.
October.
But Bob did refer Derek.
Right.
Well, I'm doing graphic art for Bob's book.
Uh-huh.
Actually.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. So
this is neat. There's a lot of stuff going, cooking and boiling away over there in Apex.
Exactly.
Yeah. And about two or three doors up is the Rusty Bucket, where I have my books, CDs, and art on exhibit as well.
I did a book art behind the scenes for the Rusty Bucket also. So yeah,
they went around and interviewed all of us for
I'm gonna have to go over there. I'm just gonna have to go to Apex.
See, I told you, there's a lot of work that goes into trying to get in everything here. Yeah, the
well, I hope you're getting a paycheck out of it.
Well, you know how it is with books.
Yeah,
right?
you sort of pay the piper, but there comes a time when the piper needs to pay you.
So. Well, the Rusty Bucket, that's based off in the movie and the TV show that was shot that you were in.
That I'm actually the narrator for as
you're
well.
You're the narrator.
I do
as
a cameo
well,
as the conductor. Yeah.
Exactly, and they wanted to do a behind-the-scenes book, and I did graphic art for that, the interior, and two alternate covers.
How long before that's available?
I'm not sure exactly. It's still in production, basically.
Did they give you all the materials that you could sort of base your drawings on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, they gave me a ton of
materials. I can imagine.
Yeah, it was good, though, because it gave me a chance to stretch my imagination and pull everything together and see how I can, you know, make everything relevant to each other, you know. So I'm really excited for that one to come out because it's a lot of artwork. It's a lot of...
It'll represent you well.
Exactly. Yeah. And it shows the portrait side, and it also goes to the comic side, you know. So
good.
That when that's available, I'm sure you'll...
Somebody will give me a call or send me an email.
Exactly. And the first line, that's actually available for pre-orders now. That's what I was saying.
Oh, really?
Saying.
So where do they go for that?
You can go to All Booked Up, SalemStreet.com. I believe it's
so
dot
that's
com.
All together.
Yeah,
all booked
up.
All booked up, Salem Street, and you spell out street,
right.
.com. And you can pre-order that.
And on top of everything else, it's a wonderful bookstore.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get up with him at some point and do some work with him myself, more in the publishing stories vein. It's amazing how far those girls have come.
Yes, oh yeah, I need to say something about that. Let me...
Yes, get everything in.
He brought notes.
Janice and
I don't
Shiloh
know notes. That's not fair.
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry.
J-Lo.
No, start again. I'm sorry.
Janice
I interrupted.
And Shiloh are great to work with. They are wonderful people, and I love working with them.
He's reading a blank page now.
Now say that again. That's with just, a little bit feeling.
No, I'm playing, yes, really. Yes. But
Janice and Shiloh, who are the proprietors of All Booked Up on Salem Street in downtown Apex, you're doing a marvelous job, darlings.
They are.
So pleased.
I'm playing. When
he was reading a blank page and making all that up. I don't know how he did that.
Yeah. But getting back to The Wanderer.
Before you get back to The Wanderer, let me put a little shout out here, and you can run them a CD copy of this.
Okay.
I would like both those ladies on my show, so sort of tap them on the shoulders about that. I've brought that up in the past, but I hardly ever see them because I'm hardly ever in Apex, so mention that.
I will. And they're probably listening, too.
Good. Okay. Well, girls, want to consider coming on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Back to Derek.
Well, I was just going to say about The Wanderer, that's going to actually... We're going to try to get that out in October, close to Halloween, because of the nature of the stories that Bob wrote. So
Carborough Bookbeat, which is a show I do on Mondays, and I've got him scheduled for the Monday before Halloween.
That'd be Bob Crowley.
That's
going to be Bob Crowley to talk about.
That's
going to
be perfect.
Because it's a ghost story.
And we're doing our own little horror show here on with Ira David Wood.
Yes.
And Audrey and...
The Tuesday before...
We may have Alan Hall, the theater critic and reviewer, joining us and doing one of the stories. I'm picking my most extreme horror stories for everybody to do one. So that's coming up on Halloween.
The Tuesday before Halloween.
Thank you, yes. Right. That'll be our Halloween.
Are you going to tell any?
They're going to be my stories that each person is going to read
one. Okay.
And I'm going to pick the worst of them all. Yes, mine's going to be Knives of Wind. It's about witchcraft, but you'll hear it on Halloween.
That's going to be interesting. Yeah, the title. Like fun. The title.
I'm just waiting to find out which one he's going to pick for me to read.
Well, actually, there are several. You've got the one that I was actually thinking about for you. Now let me think of my own titles. My mind just went blank.
That's all right.
Let's go back to that. Hey.
We've got time.
I'll think of titles later.
No one can see.
Under a Primitive Moon is also going to be the title of the entire collection. But there's a story called Under a Primitive Moon, which is tribal and takes place in Africa.
Neat. All right.
Deals with superstitions come alive. Okay, Derek. You've dug enough out of me.
I believe that's
what other notes much everything. What other notes did you make, whether written or invisible?
Let me clarify with Wanderer of New Hope.
We don't tend to clarify things.
Wanderer of New Hope. Mm-hmm. That's the working title right now.
By Bob Crowley. That's Bob Crowley's book.
Yeah. So I didn't want him to say
it's a ghost story as far as we know.
Yeah. It's going to be it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, you've read
very
it?
Very interesting. Oh yeah.
Oh, has he finished
it? Yeah, I'm doing
it's
some,
written.
I'm doing some of the graphics. Yeah, I'm doing some of the graphics for
he's
it.
He's got to get a copy to
exactly.
I'd like to read that myself, Bob, if you're listening.
Yeah. Well, he's going to send Paul and I both copies so that we can both read it before we always read before we have our guests on. So.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, so we know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so. it's really interesting. It's really it's good.
Yeah,
it is.
It's based from what I understand. It's somewhat factual, right? Or am I?
We leave that to
stepping on the tracks. There?
I believe he leaves that to your own imagination.
You decide whether it's real or not.
But isn't
it's a lot of there's a lot of facts in it.
Isn't there some belief of? Isn't this a true
based on some legend?
Legend, yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm not sure.
I see.
I think so.
But you are drawing these things. You're just not sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's, you know.
Gotcha. Bob, get it together. Let us know.
Hey, I mean, you know. Right. I got to leave something for Bob to talk about.
Oh, right,
I can't
exactly.
just talk about it.
Very slick.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what other notes have you made that to make sure that these are points we ponder before we go off air?
I believe I hit all my points.
You did.
Okay.
Okay, we're gonna have some dead time now, folks.
You won't go home.
Sorry, I got nothing else. I'm done.
You can tell your wife we're done. Yeah. Saying no more.
I'm done. I didn't ramble too much, I hope.
No, you didn't.
No, not at all.
What are you going to do next? What's the next big project or idea?
The next project right now, well, after we finish this up.
Right. You've got 100 things going on.
Yeah,
right now.
I love it. The Knuckleheads graphic novel. Mm-hmm. This is one of four, this issue right here. And the issue available on Indie Planet is issue one. But I'm working with Peak City Publishing through All Booked Up.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to do the entire series as one book.
All right.
The Knuckleheads. Ah. So they're going to actually publish the Knuckleheads graphic novel.
Wow.
So I'm looking probably early next year, spring, something like that. That's the ideal time to come out with comic books, right before all the big conventions.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now, is everything's starting to wind down. You know, mm-hmm. you have a couple of other conventions going on, but you know, primarily you release them in the spring.
So you're planning on three, this is one of four, and you're planning up three more. And do you have those planned out in your head already?
Yes, or? I already have it written. Yeah.
You already have them written?
I actually wrote, yes.
All right.
Yeah, but no, I pretty much, whenever I approach one of these stories or comics, it's never issue to issue. I mean, I can go on to issue 90 right now with these guys.
Okay.
It's all up here.
So they're not necessarily sequels, they're just stories.
Well, this is actually a, not really a sequel, but it tells one story
mm-hmm.
of the Knuckleheads, basically their origin and everything. So it's one story, but it's broken up into four parts, you know. So you read all four parts, you get the complete story. What we're going to do instead of breaking it up, we're going to do one big graphic novel, 100 and whatever
just
pages
continue on.
Of artwork and full color artwork, dialogue, everything. Mm-hmm. And once you pick that up and read it, you'll know all about the Knuckleheads.
And then from there, you can take the Knuckleheads anywhere you want to take them.
Exactly.
Right? As a group.
Exactly.
Yeah, to do whatever they mm-hmm. decide to.
Because I leave it open.
The Peacemakers or something.
Yeah,
right.
I leave it open-ended. The, mm-hmm. the you know, where everyone that doesn't die at the end.
Where did that name come from, the Knuckleheads? I feel like it's the three of us in the studio, but go ahead.
They opened up a dictionary.
You know,
they opened up that sinus thing again.
You know, okay. You know, I'm not really sure where I came up with that, but I remember
they look like rather serious characters.
Yeah, I remember G.I. Joe, and they had like the dreadnoughts or whatever, and they were like a group of guys that just ran around and caused mischief and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. that's like the closest reference that I have for these guys, but.
This guy's holding a massive bomb in his hand, and you're saying he's causing mischief?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. By definition, this goes along with their character. Mm-hmm. A knucklehead is someone of limited intelligence with a mean nature mm-hmm. who prefers using their knuckles or fist to using their head. So
you bullies out there.
That's a good explanation.
You bullies out there, this applies to you.
Exactly. So, and that's what they do. They punch first and ask questions later.
If they get a response.
It's only cartoon violence, so.
I got you. Good. Keep it on the page.
But actually, when I opened it up, I just remembered the sculptor. I started sculpting like 3 years ago.
Here we go, another art form.
Yeah, I forgot.
And
to
what
tell
sort
you
of things did you sculpt?
I didn't write that down. That's why.
That's it. You knucklehead.
But I was drawing the knuckleheads, and every artist, every comic artist or whatever, you want to actually hold your
have
creation,
something three dimensional yes.
that you can put in your hand, and when you know you come from a comic background or cartoons. They make toys, and you want a toy of your character.
Yeah, I always did. I remember that.
Yeah, so I got up, and one day I said, I'm going to get a block of clay, and I'm going to make my own character. I'm going to make them, and this is the result. And I know people can't see it, but
hold on,
there's a sculpture of...
Claudio's holding it up to the microphone. Mic, yeah.
That's not bad. Look at that, Audrey.
But you can go to my portfolio, and
neat.
You can see.
I thought it was a drawing.
Sculptures.
Yes.
It looks just like the character. It's
yeah.
amazing.
That's
so you discovered
sculpture.
A whole new talent.
I did.
And you made it out of clay.
Out of clay.
And then you
it
make
was quick.
It or
no, this was actually, and I'm self-taught with this, and I might be doing it.
Stop apologizing for being self-taught.
Well,
so am I.
I'm not apologizing. I'm okay. just clarifying.
Good.
Right.
I think some of the greatest artists have come out of that.
Exactly. But... I got quick air drying clay of all things.
Uh-huh.
So you had to be quick about it.
So I had to pretty much, you know, put it together pretty fast. So
then it's hard now, in other words.
Yeah.
The moment you take it out of the wrap, it begins to harden.
Well, you take it out and it's really pliable because mm-hmm. your hands, you know, they're warm and moist.
Right.
And once you leave it up overnight, that's it.
Hmm.
And then I'll sand it down and, you know, refine it a little bit and then paint it. Oops.
That's
fantastic.
Extraordinary. And have you pursued that whole sculpting idea in any other directions? Or is it strictly for those characters?
Well, he's the only character I did of the knuckleheads, actually. I love sculpting now. It feels like drawn to me.
Yeah.
What other creations
have you made?
Once I did Bam Boom, that's the lead of the knuckleheads, I was like, well, I can do anything. So I just started making different people. I did a huge sculpture of Superman.
Okay.
And I didn't mean for it to be so big, but I just kept adding to it because exactly, it just grew. I'm like, well, his head is too big. Let me make his shoulders broader. Well, his shoulders are too broad. Let me be. And he stands at least, 2-3 feet?
My goodness.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Where is he?
3 feet high?
No, no, not 3 feet. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
like two.
Two,
Italy,
yeah.
18
this?
Inches?
No, I'd say that's maybe
about
2 foot and a half. Those are two, yeah.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that proximity.
18
and where does this bust rest?
In my room.
In your
yeah.
room?
Yeah, in my room.
Now, is this a bust or is it a full figure with legs?
It's a full figure with legs. Cape,
oh.
Cape, okay. Standing on a stand, everything.
My goodness.
It's on my online portfolio for everyone.
I'm going to have to look that up again myself. I breezed through
it. He's huge.
Is that the deviant art thing?
He's at DeviantArt,
dmeason.daportfolio.com.
Yes, he's there also. And from there, I've done Iron Man, the Juggernaut, X-Men. I mean,
does your son like these things?
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
And he wants to play with them, but
I'm sure, but they're totally fragile.
They're not that fragile, but yeah, they break. He'll find a way to break it.
It is amazing what a kid can break.
Exactly. It could be made out of concrete. It'll be broken. Yes. I was like, what happened?
It's like putting a chain putting a chain leash on a dog, which I'm not for, but it's amazing. Even puppies, what they can break away from.
And exactly.
It's almost a mystical energy that children have. You go, no, they can't break this, and then you come home and it's in more pieces than you could have broken it.
Yeah. He had one for probably like 3 seconds, and I looked over and the arm was broken off. I was like, what happened?
He was trying to shake the hand?
I don't know. He thought it moved, I think. Yeah.
Thought maybe it was, what do you call it, a transformer or something?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to ask you about that, you know, with all these graphic novels that they're putting to film now. What are some of your favorites, or do you think any of them are any good?
Yeah.
What do they call those? I don't think I've seen that many. The movies that have come out with based on, I think,
comics or
Wolverine
cartoons.
Type stuff. Yeah,
I enjoyed a great deal of them.
Yeah.
Some of them aren't.
You didn't feel like there was, what was that company you started called Additional Footage? You didn't feel like some of them needed to be improved upon?
Yes.
You did, okay.
I definitely did. I understand that there's a script. And then there's a director, and sometimes the script might be really good, but it goes off in what direction the director takes it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's, you know. But, yeah, there's a few good ones out there.
Which, anyone that you liked particularly well? Just curious.
Recently.
I'm still considering watching any of them myself, so I might go pick one up if you recommend one.
Okay, well. I didn't enjoy Transformers 2, actually.
I haven't seen any of those. So.
But Iron Man 2 was good. It was just a fun
Robert
little
Downey.
Ride.
Robert Downey, right? Okay.
It was just a fun ride. It really didn't give you any kind of, you know, knowledge or anything. You just walked away like, wow.
Roller coaster.
Exactly. Like you got in a Ferrari or something, went 100 miles per hour, and again got out of the car. You're just like, whoa. And that's basically what the movie was.
Where are my feet?
Yeah. Just takes you on a real fast ride, and you're just like, oh. So, yeah. I think that was the last one that was pretty good I saw. Yeah.
Good. Well, let's give the contact information one more time, and then I think we'll wrap the show and let John Paul get on with his. I know we got 5 minutes to spare, but.
Oh, well, we've got a little bit more than 5 minutes.
Oh, we do.
We've got like 8 minutes or 9 minutes.
Well, let's announce all that stuff again. And before we do that, I just want to quickly acknowledge the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, primary sponsor of Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater here on WCOM 103.5 FM. Audrey, over to you with those contact announcements.
Contacts so
for Derek Eason and getting up with looking up his work.
You can go to DME version 1, the number 1. deviantart.com. You can also go to DMEASON, that's DMEASON, .daportfolio.com. And if you're interested in finding out more about all booked up salemstreet.com, you can go there too.
Absolutely.
There's all sorts of great things you can find out. And if you want to go to Apex Arts Council, you can find out more about submitting something for their juried exhibit, is that what it is? Or just an exhibit?
Which is coming up in September, as we said. Yeah. And I will have a piece in that as well.
And if you want to purchase the Knuckleheads first issue, you can go to anyplanet.com.
Now, will it be signed?
Yeah, I didn't say that one.
No, it won't.
It won't?
No, it won't.
Can you ask for it to be signed?
Well,
put that in there. Is it Indie Planet? Is INDY or INDY?
INDY. Planet.
Now, is there a way people, if they want the book signed, if they get it, and can they contact you somehow? Is there a direct or indirect method?
Well, my resume is at my online portfolio.
Okay.
So that's my contact info is there through email. You know, you can email me.
If you want to get his autograph.
Are you going to have any kind of a book signing?
Well, once the graphic novel comes out, definitely. Okay. I'll be wherever I need to be.
Right.
I'll be out on the street corner. with it, flagging people down.
Yes.
There's no problem.
When it comes out, you'll have to let us know here.
Let us know. We'll do another show.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have you on again.
Maybe get you on Carborough Bookbeat, too. And definitely. We'll expose.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of our shows are spilling over.
Yes.
It's literary to
right,
to begin with.
Exactly.
That's good. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thank you for being on. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
And I don't think you forgot anything. We should tell your wife that I don't think you forgot anything. He didn't ramble on, not anything we didn't instigate ourselves.
Absolutely. I think we have to stop us from rambling.
Yes, me especially.
Well, I think we can both do that a bit.
So I'm going to behave now and get off the air. So on behalf of Derek Eason, thank you for being on with
thank
the Knuckleheads
you.
And all
thank
your
you.
Graphic arts.
Thank you.
Audrey, thanks for co-hosting.
Oh,
this is yours truly,
fun.
Claudio, signing off until next time. Cheers.